The old day is coming to a close. The new is about to open. The enemy wants to come and crush you underfoot before God prevails. But God is not going to let him. Because this is the day that he is saying, let my people go. Free them from the bondage of sickness. Free them from the bondage of sexual addictions. Free them from the bondage of the love of money. Free them from the bondage of the love of sin. Free them from the bondage of the love of the world. To serve the living God, walking high and holy, bringing great glory to the Son of God. How do we do this? It is the Spirit of holiness rising up within you. The Spirit of holiness rising up within you. It is the Spirit of the overcomer overtaking you so that your heart is filled with faith, filled with desire, filled with passion. It has been too long that the enemy has trodden underfoot the church. And God is saying, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. If you've never felt what it feels like to have the enemy under your foot, to have your mind filled with faith, to have your heart filled with faith, to have your soul filled with faith, so that you know that you can conquer all things in Christ. It's not a faint glimmer, but a fire. Say a fire. It's a fire that God puts within you. It doesn't matter about your past. It only matters about Christ. And that's where the church has missed her mark. We keep thinking it matters about things that have nothing to do with anything. If we can convince the church that it can live in worldly wealth, you know, and rub elbows with the Joneses, then the church will be happy. That's not going to make the church happy. The only thing that is going to make the church happy is in Christ. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. It won't look the same as it's ever looked before. And those who dip into this river will come out looking like they have never looked before. The world wants to stomp you down, doesn't it? Constantly tell you, you're not worthy. You don't have a right. You're not of value. Am I telling you the truth? But that's not the final word. The final word is truth. Truth. And the truth is, you belong to God. The world says you're peculiar. Well, if it says you're peculiar, there's hope. You're going in the right direction. If the world loves you too much, I'm telling you the truth. You're going in the wrong direction. You must comply to truth, and truth will transform you. In this hour, Ashaelakamana, Brasino Karalagoma, Bransaro Rebatain. God is going to give you victory over your soul. God is going to give you victory over the things you thought would always have victory over you. God is going to give you victory over your mind. He's going to rewire your brain so you think normal. People think, I think normal. Maybe for you, but not for God. And he's going to rewire your brain so you start thinking normal for God. God is going to rewire the brain. He's going to help you fill your mind with the spirit of truth. And when you're filled with truth, Satan cannot rule you. Circumstances cannot rule you. When you're down, you're up. When you're up, you're up. Because truth rules. You know, you never lose hope. Hope rules you. It dominates you. It compels you. It propels you. It keeps you lifted above the storm. Because your brain is filled with truth. And the spirit of truth. The day is coming, and it is very close at hand, that God, in a moment, is going to begin to break the shackles of Pharaoh off the church. He wants you to see him the way he really is, not the way you've been told that he is, not the way that your heart makes you think he is, not the way that the principalities and powers of the air want you to think he is. You've got to see him the way he really is so you know what you're supposed to be. How do you know what a bride is supposed to be when you don't know what the groom looks like? It's a new day. It's a new way. You must be free from Pharaoh. You must be free from the slavery of the things of the world. It's the only way that you can rule and reign in this life. I'm feeling a force. I'm feeling a power surging up within my heart, within my being. And this power, this force, is the force of God moving through the soul, compelling feats of grandeur. Compelling feats of faith. Compelling feats of victory. The likes of which you cannot even conceive without his spirit. There is a darkness that hovers between you and the light. And you think that this is normal life. My dear brothers and sisters, it is not normal. Not for a Christian. I can remember being up here in the pulpit, having a tremendous experience in God. And in this experience, everything I read in the Bible, I began to experience what I was reading. And then he kind of plopped something into the middle of all that. And I was standing in front of this huge eternal mountain. It was a mountain of truth. This mountain was so great, so big, because it spanned eternity. It was truth. There was no lie in it, no deception. It was truth because it was God. Are you with me? I'm looking at this mountain. And it is so big, I've never seen anything like it. And right at the foot of the mountain, at the base of the mountain, stood the nations of the world. They were so, millions, billions of people standing at the foot of the mountain. And they looked like a little ant. The whole of them, like a drop in the bucket. A little ant standing in front of this great eternal mountain of truth. And this little ant was warring against truth. I stood there and I watched this and I thought, if that isn't the most stupid thing I've ever seen in my life, that an ant could really believe it could have victory over a mountain. But they kept warring against this mountain. Like they really thought, excuse me, like they really thought they were going to win. I just stood there and I watched this. Truth. The ant. Great mountain. Tiny drop. And I stood in awe. The peoples of the earth war against truth. Is this true? Listen, the peoples of the earth war against truth. The principalities and powers of the air war against truth. All around there's darkness warring against truth. Wherever God wants to shed light, there's darkness warring against light. The falsehood, the deception, warring against truth. But it all put together was like a little tiny ant, a drop in the bucket in front of this great eternal mountain of truth. Truth could not be moved. It could not be affected. It could not be changed. Nothing could touch it. The mountain just stood there and watched the ant. And it watched the ant knowing the day of its demise. It didn't even bother to try to fight back because it already won. That's the truth. Why is this significant for you? Because the church has sought to believe the truth. And darkness stands between you and the real truth. It clouds your mind. It clouds your understanding. It inhibits your heart from being able to comprehend the glory. Don't you want to see the glory? Wouldn't you do anything to be like the high priest of the old covenant, going back behind the veil to behold the glory? Wouldn't you give anything to see the glory of God? Wouldn't you think that that would be the most wonderful and superb experience in human existence, to behold with your eyes the glory of God? Wouldn't you like to be arrested by the glory? Wouldn't you like something to happen in your heart that caused you to want God more than you want to breathe? Not religion. Although there's nothing wrong with religion, as long as it's the right religion. But God. 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 Wouldn't you give anything to behold God face to face? To stand before His glory and have your heart gripped with the fire of God? To have such an experience in God that your life has been forever changed? I came to the Lord back in 1979. And during that time, that was part of the great charismatic renewal. Were you guys saved at that time? You never heard from the pulpit people preaching holiness. All you ever heard was people preaching that you are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. But when I got saved, I mean immediately, I became so hungry for holiness. I was so hungry to know God's holiness that it was insatiable. It was like a living fire inside of me that drove everything I did. And I didn't even know what name to put on it. I just knew when I kept hearing this washed down gospel that you can live for the world and still have God, that something inside of me ached for what I wasn't hearing. Have you ever felt that? I've shared this experience many times from the pulpit because in 30 years, it is still one of the most profound experiences I've ever had. May I share it with you? Every time I'd open the Bible, I would see words like, God is holy. Have any of you seen that? Words that speak of the holiness of His glory. I'd see words that talked about sin. And it seemed that it stood directly against the holiness, although I didn't fully understand what the holiness was. I was very young in the Lord. One day, I'm walking around the living room, and as I'm walking around, I'm singing a little song that was just becoming a little popular in Fresno, California at that time. And it was all about Holy is the Lord. I mean, just a few verses, something very simple but profound. Holy is the Lord. And I'm walking around and I'm singing this song, Holy is the Lord. Suddenly, His holiness began to fill the room. Slowly. It's building. It's building. It's building. And the more it builds, I can no longer sing because now I'm in the presence of God. I wanted to sing. I didn't know what to do. So I thought, I'll worship from my heart instead of my mouth. And I kept walking around singing the song from my heart. I was walking around like this when suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ came in, flop. And the minute He came in and stood in front of me, I was on my face. I don't even remember getting there. I don't know how I got there. All I know is He came in fully adorned in His holiness. The terror of the Lord swept through me, and down I went. I laid in front of Him, shaking, trembling like this, my whole body, just like a fish out of water. I was trembling so hard, you could hear it. I wanted Him to talk to me so bad. Wouldn't you like that if Jesus appeared to you for Him to talk to you? I wanted to talk to Him. I mean, have you ever made up a list? If I ever see the Lord, this is what I'm going to ask Him. You've got your list of 25 things. I wanted to talk to Him so bad, but there He is in the effulgence of His holiness, and I am in terror. He is holy, and I realize my being is full of sin. It wasn't like I sensed the sin of lying or the sin of, you know, cheating or the sin of this or the sin of that. I just suddenly realized I was created in iniquity. And He's holy. He's so holy, I am terrified. Finally, I don't know what to do. I want to talk to Him so bad. I want him to talk to me so bad. I didn't know what to do. So with my heart, because I feared if I spoke to him with my mouth, I would die. I said to him, Lord, I want to talk to you, but I fear if I say one word to you, I'll die. I want you to talk to me, but I fear if you say one word to me, I will die. You see, the holiness of God meeting the sinfulness of man. Now what the gospel that was being ministered across the body was saying in that hour was, well, you've got the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, so you're not going to know that you have sin. I want to tell you something, my dear friends. Anyone who teaches that has never been before God. When you stand before Him, everything changes. All of the watered-down doctrines in the church fall away. I am trembling before the holiness of God because I am a created being. And although His blood covers me, and thank God His blood covered me, or I wouldn't be alive today. Do you understand? Being before His holiness, I knew I was laying before the one who held the universe together. Because I could feel that kind of power emanating from Him. He caused me to understand that He was able to create all things and hold all things together by the word of His power because He is holy. He helped me understand that He held me together because He was holy. If He was not holy, nothing could survive. He was so glorious. I wanted to stay there forever. But at the same time, I wanted Him to leave. I'm sorry, but I was terrified. His instruction to me was that He had come to teach me the fear of God. I have shared this from the pulpit, and I've had pastors get up. I'm sorry, they're good men, and they love Jesus with all their hearts, and they love the church. But they have not understood the holiness of God. And they will get up and say, everything she just preached is not true. And I never get upset because I know they don't understand. God is holy. And learning the fear of God is the beginning of the revelation of God. Until you have the fear of God, you cannot have the revelation of God. And He wants to give His church the revelation of Himself today. He wants us to quit. Quit with the charismatic stuff. And experience God. Find God. Know God. Be one with God. Walk in the power and the glory and the majesty of God. He wants to show off His bride in all of her beauty. Clothed with His glory. And it begins with the fear of God. It is the fear of God that makes you afraid to do what the world does. It is the fear of God that makes you afraid to do what the church does. When you walk in the fear of God, you cannot do things that the Bible says don't do lightly. When you have the fear of God, you must be purified. You must be cleansed. Something inside of you compels it, forces you through all of the human obstacles to be pure before God. You do not want to offend Him. If He says, thou shalt not lie, you don't want to lie. When He says, love your neighbor as yourself, you want to love your neighbor as yourself. When he says don't covet, you don't want to covet. When you have the fear of God, love fills your heart. Love for him. Love for his ways. Love for his kingdom. Nothing is too great a sacrifice to change and be changed, transformed into the glory of God. And this is an hour for the glory of God to come forth in his church. My dear brothers and sisters, we must be transformed. We must be transfixed on his glory. And we must be transformed into his glory. We can't walk the old way anymore. We must come back to the highway of holiness. Until we magnify him in our being. Hearts filled with faith. Why do you think we lack in faith? Do you know? It's because there's too much world in your heart. And not enough of the glory of God. When the glory of God begins to fill your heart, faith begins to grow. God wants to clothe you in his glory. He wants to show you off to the world. This is what my son died for. This is what my son came for. To find himself a bride without spot or wrinkle, filled with faith, filled with glory, filled with the beauty of heaven, filled with majesty, walking in overcoming power. We must become as he is. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? And because God said it, there must be a moment when his word comes to pass. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Do you have his treasure in you? Do you? If you do, something inside of you aches to be free in God. You're not aching for more money. You're not aching for the latest recipes. You're not aching for the latest computers. You're not aching for the latest model of cars. Listen to my heart. Listen to his heart. You're aching for God. You're aching to be free in God. You're aching to know God. You're aching to be made into the image of the Son because you know that pleases your Father. You're aching for him to reveal the glory of the Son through you to a lost and dying world. Because that's what having him inside your heart does. If you're not feeling those feelings, if you're not aching those achings, if you're not longing those longings, if you're not living by that passion, there's something wrong in your walk. What are you going to do when the glory comes to New Orleans? If the aching is not there for the passion, if the aching for the glory is not there, what will you do when the glory comes to the city? But if you are aching for it, when the river is opened up upon the city, you will be the first in it. And when he's standing by the bank of the river and he sees you wanting to jump in, he'll say, I'll let you, but you can't take that with you. You'll say, that's okay, Lord. Have it. And you'll start to jump in again and he'll say, wait, 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 wait. I want you to come into the river, but you have to let go of that. Yes, Lord, anything. This river looks so refreshing, so wonderful, and I'm feeling so dry, so parched. I don't want to stand on the side of the river anymore. And you start to jump in it again because you want to dip in the glory. Amen? Do you? Are you sure? You want to dip in the glory. And he says, oh, wait a minute. I want you to jump in the river. I want this with all my heart. But you have to let go of this. Okay, Lord, you can have it. I don't want to hold on to these sins anymore. I want to come into the river. And I want you to. I want you to so bad. So go ahead and jump in. Except one more thing. And this is going to be the hardest thing of all for you to let go of. Oh, what could be harder than what you've already asked, Lord? Trust me, this will be the hardest. Do you still want the river? Do you? Are you sure? You have to let go of self. It's the great exchange. I have to let go of self, as in me. How can I jump in the river if I have to let me go? Ah, this is the mystery. But the minute you say yes, you'll understand. Okay, Lord, I let go of self, and he pushes you in. And the water is so wonderful. It feels so good to your flesh. It feels so good to your soul. It feels so cleansing to your spirit. You just want to dip and swim and shout and rejoice in the river. Am I right? And you're flipping and flopping around in every which direction because you want to have the full benefit of the river. When suddenly, listen to this, suddenly you look around and you see in every direction glory, 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 glory. And you realize you're being changed. You're being transformed. You realize that your heart is lifted up before the throne of his glory. And you are beholding his face. What you thought you could never have is suddenly yours. And I'll tell you, no one can teach you how to overcome like the teacher himself. What is it going to take to turn New Orleans around? To take New Orleans from the angry, fearful city that it is, steeped in the love of sin. What is it going to take? It's going to take Jesus through a church that will let him have control. It's going to take a church that is going to bring down the boundaries. We're going to quit having excuses for why we can't love each other. We're going to let them go. We're going to forgive. We're going to move on. We're going to seek the glory of the Son alone. The agendas are going to be lost in the river. Amen? You can't win victories with your agenda. Amen? But you can win victories when you are filled with the power and the majesty of God. You can move mountains no human being can move. When your heart is filled with the glory and the majesty of God, you can win. You can transform a city that seems like it cannot be transformed. When we came here a year ago, I was amazed that every place we went into, every person who would brush by us was filled with fear. You could see it in their eyes. And I couldn't understand, why is there so much fear in this city? But how do you overcome all of the problems that have come up in this city because of fear? It takes love. It takes faith. Those are the only two things that can win. Love and faith. Say please. Love and faith. What dilutes your faith? A love for the world. When you let go of your love for the world, your faith will begin to grow and begin to soar, and you will see victories you've never seen before. This is the hour. This is the hour. This is the moment. This is the time. This is the day. This is the minute. This is it. God is getting ready to pour out a deluge upon this city, and he's going to have a people marshaling under the glory that is going to reach out to their brother and their sister, and all of the boundaries are going to be absorbed in the glory. Love is going to pave the way. Faith is going to pave the way. We're going to walk shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, in faith and faith. It's the only thing that can transform this city. And when God's done transforming this city, the world is going to look and say, what happened to New Orleans? Yes, glory. And it's going to be so beautiful in their eyes, they're going to want it. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen it with my eyes. God is going to bring forth men and women, young and old, in this hour, to transform cities all over the world. It's not going to be like it has ever been before. I can remember in our gathering up in Washington, D.C., a couple of years ago, I had my precious little sister, Nikki. She's Chinese, about this tall. She does my translating for me when I minister to the Chinese people. And we're up there, we're about to share something from the Lord, when suddenly I found myself like this, going right into time and space. And I found myself in the streets of Jerusalem in the outpouring of the book of Acts. I'm telling you the truth before God. I am walking the streets of Jerusalem. I see the disciples. They're flowing in incredible miracles, healing. The Lord let me feel the very atmosphere of the city. And the very atmosphere of the city was filled with faith. Such faith that these men believed God could do anything, and he did everything they believed. I saw incredible miracles taking place. You know how the Bible tells us that the very shadow of Peter would fall upon people and they would be healed? I saw it. I saw and I felt the electricity of the life of God everywhere in the city. The disciples of God were growing. People were getting saved. They were growing by leaps and bounds spiritually. There was like no limit in God. Do you hear me? No limit. I'm watching all of this and I'm astounded. I got up. I was talking to Nikki. And we were going to talk to the gathering. When suddenly, I'm not there anymore. I'm in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts. How does God do something like that? I don't know. I only know when he wants to do it, he can do it. So there I am. And then suddenly I'm back in the gathering. And I looked at Nikki and I said, wow, that was God. And she just looked at me and she said, what was God? And I told the whole gathering, I just experienced the book of Acts. I told them what I'm telling you. And the reason God let me experience this is he said to me, you are about to enter in Acts book 2. This wasn't the people of Jerusalem coming to watch a man or a woman flowing in God's power. God's power was everywhere. And the people God was using was the everywhere people. Faith was in the air, not just in the heart. We're about to enter Acts book 2. What did they do in Acts book 1? They healed the sick. They raised the dead. They healed the maimed. They spoke the gospel. 3,000 people got saved. They shared the gospel. 5,000 people got saved. I mean, it was an incredible, glorious revival. Acts book 2. Acts book 2. That's what's coming here. And he wants to use the whole church in New Orleans. Behold, I do a new thing. Greater things than these will you do. I saw a picture of a man who'd been terribly maimed in Iraq, horribly maimed in the war in Iraq. And I thought, this too, we're going to see the maimed healed. I promise you we are, because I've seen it. I've seen people who don't have arms suddenly arms grow. People don't have legs. Suddenly, legs grow. Acts book 2. Behold. What? What? I do a new thing. I do a new thing. I do a new thing. Quit believing the lie and believe God is going to do a new thing, because he is, and he wants you to be a part of it. It's a new thing. It's not the old. It's not the old. It's not the old. It's new. Amen. Why don't we stand? Kore plasheru toropa. Kore lere pestoria ka. A suri lekena. Are seri la pa.